What a joy to hear the voice of the choir today. Thank you to the team for leading us well today and also on Good Friday and doing double duty there and pouring out such great leadership as we come to such an interesting celebration. Good Friday seems like such an odd thing to say. I never know what to say on Good Friday. Do you say Happy Good Friday? I'm never sure how to address that, but it is good. Somebody said I think it was Rita, you said to me on Friday, it is good, Good Friday. We know the end. We know how things go. And just as Pastor Dustin has been dwelling on the story of Easter, so have I, so has our staff. We've been focusing on this. We actually sat down about a month ago to plan out today's service and to look at it and to consider where we should go. And in that discussion, I brought up the title I wanted to work with today, which is What If He Said No? And Pastor Dustin says, well, that sounds kind of negative, kind of dark. And it is. But we want to question maybe what would happen if Jesus said no, because we know that he didn't. And we will rejoice, and we do rejoice because we know that he said yes. Yes to coming in bodily form to our earth, the incarnation. Yes to walking the perfect life before us. Yes to the ability to become the perfect sacrifice on our behalf. Yes to the cross. Yes to death on the cross. And because of that, the resurrection is possible only because he said yes to all those things to bring him to the point of death and then burial and then resurrection. As I said, this is such an amazing topic. I was up early yesterday morning. We had a house guest on Friday night, and he was leaving early yesterday morning. It was a dear friend of mine, best man at my wedding, old roommate, married my wife's cousin. And he's been traveling up through here a lot, and we've seen him a lot lately, but I love the chance to hang out with Mark. And he was leaving early, so I got up, and I was going to say goodbye to him and then go back to bed. But afterwards, I thought, you know what? I've had my first cup of coffee. I need just to really get into the text and dwell in the scriptures for Sunday. And what a joy yesterday was to be able to do many things through the day, but to focus on the story of the resurrection, to be able to focus on what Christ accomplished because he did not say no. And for the day yesterday, I finally went to bed about 11 o'clock last night. And for the day, I did many things in between. But for the focus of the day, it was constantly on this message of the resurrection. Constantly in my head, these points that I'll talk to you about today were constantly there. Pastor Dustin and I think, I'm not sure if it was this morning or Friday morning, we said that, you know what? Well, I have to admit, I'll confess to you, it's hard sometimes this time of year as a pastor because I see what other places are doing, other churches, other ministries, and sometimes I compare ourselves to what they're doing. Sometimes I think we should maybe do a bigger production, get the whole choir up here with the robes and get going, and you know, and I nothing against those things. And so I honestly do say maybe we should do more. And Dustin and I were sharing, we said, you know what, really, this should be the baseline for every Sunday. This shouldn't be once a year that we come together and feel this passionate about the Savior that we serve. It shouldn't be once a year that we come together and really give her all. This should be the baseline for our worship. And it should go up from there. So, sorry about the choir. We don't have one, but you were an amazing choir today. But as we come because the resurrection is the foundational principle to our faith. Crucifixion is important. It's awe-inspiring. It's beyond belief what Jesus would do. But of all he was crucified and then died and then put in a tomb where he stayed. There would be no power for us as followers of Christ that we hold today because of the resurrection of Christ. The power that we have comes solely through the one difference of our guy we follow. Well, that's the resurrection. It's foundational. It brings hope not only for our present, but for our future and our past as well. The resurrection brings the hope that nothing else can. The resurrection brings truth at a level that we would never find it otherwise. And I want to talk about that with you today, just very briefly. I want to start by reading, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians in a minute, but I want to start by reading the resurrection story as told in the Gospel of Matthew. So if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to take them and turn them to Matthew chapter 28. We're We're going to look at the first 10 verses of Matthew chapter 28. And then we're going to shift over to 1 Corinthians 15. But I cannot start this day and we cannot continue this day without reading the narrative of the resurrection. The four Gospels speak of it, but we will read from Matthew today. Matthew 28, starting in verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This text that we come to every Easter, portion of this text, the power that I said is, that holds our faith in its hands, is the power of the resurrection. And amongst the fear of the trials and the crucifixion, amongst the abandonment of his followers, the denial of some, the betrayal of others, the watching from a distance, the fear that comes with all those things, Jesus, now as he promised he would, is now raised from the dead. And these women who come in fear and trembling, who experience this earthquake and see that the stone is rolled away, to experience this angel sitting on top of this rock to say, "He's not here anymore. He's risen as he said he would be. Now go and tell his disciples that he's risen." And then Jesus appearing himself to them to the point where they clasp his feet and worship him. And he tells them again, "Go and tell my followers to come to Galilee, and there they will see me." What a beautiful hope that passage holds for us as followers of Christ. Now, a few years later, as the Apostle Paul comes onto the scene after a number of seasons of persecuting the early church, actually to the point of killing Christians because he didn't believe this message, Jesus gets a hold of him, grabs him on the road to Damascus and blinds him with this light, and Jesus himself appears still alive to the Apostle Paul. And Paul, later in his life, writing to the church of Corinth, writes a number of things to encourage them. And we get to chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. He comes to that point where he wants to encourage them with the hope of the resurrection, to come and just really say, "You know what, this all happened as he said it did. Don't lose sight of that." Take your Bibles, if you got them, turn them to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to look at the first 20 verses of this today. We're going to see that the hope that the resurrection has, because Jesus did not say no, he said yes. But we're going to look as Paul did, what would this be if this did not happen, the resurrection were not true. The first 11 verses are Paul's little explanation of the resurrection. He says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, the good news." What's the good news? I'm going to tell you what it is. "Which you received and on which you have taken your stand." What do you stand on? The foundation of the resurrection he's about to tell them about. "By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers, and at the same time most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me, also as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. Saying, what do you believe? What do you stand on? What's the firm foundation of your faith? It has to be the resurrection, that Jesus Christ lived, died, crucified, put in a tomb, raised from the dead, resurrected from the dead. That's what you stand on. That's the hope that you have. But knowing there was a problem with the people that he was writing to, Paul goes on. He says, verse 12, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. He's saying, you know what? Some of you deny any resurrection, let alone the resurrection of Christ. He said, if there is no resurrection from the dead, there's no resurrection for anybody, including Christ. And we need that resurrection of Christ. I've just told you it's the foundation, he says. And now you need to understand that this is important. And he goes on and he gives us some negative statements here. They sound negative, but we'll turn them around to the positive. And he says, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. Catch that, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. Our messages that we give as the church 2,000 years later are devoid of any meaning. There's no hope in what I share with you. There's no chance of redemption through what I teach, what we teach, what the church teaches. Our preaching is useless. The message that we give is worthless. You might as well have slept in this morning. Watched, I don't know what sports are on this time of year. Something's got to be on TV, I'm sure. Basketball, not till tomorrow, but there's something. Hockey, there's hockey today? I don't know. Stay home, watch something, sleep in, go for brunch before the crowd hits after church. Enjoy it. Because what we're teaching here is worthless. It's useless. Doesn't have a bit of good to you. And then he goes on, he says, not only is our preaching useless, but so is your faith. What I'm teaching is useless. What you're hearing and what you're applying, what you're giving your devotion to, what you're worshiping, what you're believing, it's worthless. Worthless. Useless. All your service, all your devotion, all your worship is to naught. Because it's to an empty institution with a dead God. So not only, if the resurrection did not happen, would our preaching and our teaching and all the things we try to do as a church, as the community of Christ, do be useless? So is your personal faith, the thing you put your hope in. More than that, he continues, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God and he raised Christ from the dead. Not only is our teaching useless, it's lying. We're misleading you intentionally. We're taking you down a road of hope that doesn't exist because the source of the hope doesn't exist. We have led you down the wrong road. And we are no more than a bunch of liars as leaders in this church. So our preaching is useless. Your faith is useless. And more than that, we've become liars and people who misguide people on purpose. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. In verse 17, Paul comes back to this and says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Okay, we talked about your faith being useless before, all your devotion, all those things. Now we come to this issue of it being futile. You're still stuck in your sins. Your faith has not brought you forgiveness. From sins in the past, sins in the present, and for sins that will be accomplished later in life. He comes and says early on, your faith, those things you put your faith in, those things you do because of your faith are useless. But now he comes and says, you know what? Your faith in hope in forgiveness is lost. Your faith is without a purpose. And you'll be stuck in your sins as you've always been. You'll be people who have turned your back on a holy God, and there's no chance of redemption and coming back to him if Christ has not been raised from the dead. Then he goes on and says, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. All those have gone before us, all our loved ones. Dustin's great-grandmother, who he has this hope that she is now standing in glory with Jesus. We've done it so many times here before when we've lost a loved one who's walked with Christ, and we say now that they've walked out of here, we will miss them, and we will miss them greatly. But we know they stand in full sight of the object of their faith through all these years. And now they know without a doubt what they put their faith in was true. And they stand beside him and they see him like we haven't yet. So our hope for a future is lost, because our hope for our loved ones who have known Christ and walked with him is that they would walk personally in his presence after this life. That's the hope we hold for ourselves, that when we leave this earth, it'll be a good thing because we'll stand in his presence. We'll miss our loved ones. Maybe, I don't know. Those here will miss them. When they're in the presence of Jesus, I'm not sure they're going to miss me. But someday I'll join them. That's my future hope. So our faith is futile. Our preaching is a mess. We're lying to people. There's no forgiveness. And our hope for a preferred and better future of living in the full presence and understanding of our God and our Lord and our Savior is lost. In verse 19, he says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ. That means if Christ is only a good thing here in this life, and then once we're dead and gone, there's nothing after this or nothing of any significance after this. He says, we are to be pitied more than all men. If all this is just kind of a ruse, all this is just kind of a joke, if all this is misleading teaching, if all this is false, then we who call ourselves followers of Christ are to be pitied above all other people on this earth. Because we put all of our hope in something that is not true. We should be pitied. But then the last verse we're going to read today is verse 20, where Paul stops and says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Not only was he resurrected, we have the hope of resurrection ourselves and standing in glorified existence with him someday. So he says all these things, and he says if the resurrection did not happen, then these things are all a mess. And the culmination of all that is that we should sit here as those pitied among all men, above all men, because our hope was for nothing. And yet he turns it and says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. The first fruits. His is the first example of it, but we're going to have fruit from that because he conquered sin and death for us. And all these things now turn. Since Christ has been raised from the dead, our preaching is not in vain because of the resurrection, the apostles' preaching is true. Our preaching is true. We bring hope through that. We bring healing through our teaching. That's nothing magical about me or Pastor Dustin or our leadership here at the church. We do what God has called us to do and God has laid on our hearts to say. It is his teaching, his words that affect people's lives. And many of you here today are here because God has gotten a hold of you. Some of you are just beginning that journey. I know some of your stories. I know most of your stories. Some of you are just beginning that journey and seeing what Jesus can do for you, what the resurrection means for you. Others of us have been on it for years, and others still have been on it a lifetime. And yet, the hope we have is the hope that we preach, the messages that we bring. If the resurrection is true, our faith is not futile, our worship is not wasted. These songs you sang today are true. The heart with which you poured out yourself in these songs is just a beginning of a taste of what heaven will be like as we worship 24/7. I was going to say around the clock, but that's kind of implied in 24/7, isn't it? We're going to worship for eternity with those things. But even more personally, because Jesus is resurrected from the dead, not only is our faith not futile and not lost and not useless, but we have a personal faith that says that there's somebody we can trust. Somebody who will take care of us. Somebody who will meet our needs. Somebody who brings hope when it seems hopeless. Somebody who brings healing when there is no healing to be found. And that person is Christ. Jesus is raised from the dead, so therefore we are not misleading people. We are not here as liars. We are not here as charlatans trying to lead people down the wrong path for our own gain. We are here bringing people to that point of hope where they can find it alone. Christ has been raised from the dead. Guess what, folks? There is hope for our forgiveness. There is hope for the fact that God wants to wash away our sins, as we've sung today, that our sins made us just red with sin, crimson with our sin. Our hearts are just wasted, dirty. And because of the resurrection of Christ, they've been made white as snow if we accept his gift. Romans 4:25, Paul says this. He says, he was delivered over to death for our sins. He died on the cross to take our sins and was raised to life for our justification. He died carrying our sins. He paid the price for sins. And raising from the dead, he now has conquered sin and death and has proven that he has the right to now forgive us of our sins and to make us right with our Heavenly Father. And his death has paid the penalty for our sins, purchased our acquittal and our justification and our forgiveness, something we can never do for ourselves, no matter how hard we try. He accomplished on the cross. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, the first fruits of many, we know that we have a future. We have a future beyond this life. We know that our loved ones who have gone before, who walked with Christ and had accepted his gift of salvation, are now in his presence, and we have that same hope that someday we'll stand there before him. And we'll see the object of our faith. We'll be able to just worship him, not through our thoughts, but in person. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful hope for our future. Jesus was resurrected, so therefore we don't have to be the most despised and pitied among men and above all. But actually, if the resurrection is true, and I got to be careful how I say this, but if the resurrection is true, we should truly be envied among all people. Because the object of whom we put our faith is the only one who can accomplish what our greatest needs are. So not only should we not be pitied, we should be envied. Now, we don't do that to say, look at what I've got. I got Jesus. You don't. We shouldn't do that, okay? It's not a good attitude with which to take it to the people. But there's nothing more beautiful than when people start to see the love of Christ through his death, his burial, his resurrection. As people start to wrestle with this God who loves them, this God who would give it all for them and did give it all for them, to see that that is something to be envied and wanted and desired, that something we should grab after and hold on to. And I love the joy of ministry. I love the joy of ministry in Leduc Fellowship Church, because weekly we have people who are discovering that for the first time. And I know sometimes people say, do we really? Yes, we do, really. We have people who are getting a hold of God's message for themselves for the first time, I would say weekly. And I don't think I'm lying to that, but to be safe, I'll say regularly, okay? That people are coming in saying, I'm trying this Jesus for the first time, and man, he's helping me. Man, he's taking me down a good road. It's not easy. It's not always full of happiness, but there's joy that comes with what he does. What an amazing thing that is for us to see. That the gospel stories of the resurrection are not just stories penned by men, but they're stories of truth and stories of hope. Our foundation is firm. The thing that we base our faith on that we need is very firm. Our faith is genuine. What we teach, what we tell, what we share, what we guide each other in as we walk the road together as community is a very genuine faith. That our forgiveness is accomplished. It's been done for us. We can't do it for ourselves. We don't have to try any harder. We just have to accept what's already been done. There's not one more bit of work that we can do to make it happen. Jesus accomplished it all on the cross and through his resurrection. And our future is secure. If we believe that he's done this, we believe that he died on the cross for our sins, we believe that he was raised on the third day, and if we just truly accept that gift, our future is secure. We don't know what's happening tomorrow, but we know what's happening for eternity. And we'll stand in God's presence and worship him. I hope that's not too much of a bummer for you, that message. I hope it's not too negative. If Jesus would have said no, then we're hooped. If he wouldn't have come to this earth, if he wouldn't have taken on the bodily form and become the perfect sacrifice for us, if he wouldn't have hung on the cross and gone in the tomb and raised on the third day, and if he wouldn't be sitting at the Father's right hand right now, we'd be lost. Truly lost, without hope, without healing, without the need of our greatest desires. Jesus has accomplished those things for us. You know, folks, I just want you on a personal note to say, I believe this. I live for this. I want to say I live this. I don't live this every day like I should, but I believe it and I live for it. And I don't feel it primarily because the Bible tells me so, which I do believe the Bible tells me so, and I believe it's worthy and trustworthy and all those things. I don't believe it because my pastors and my Sunday school teachers growing up taught me that the resurrection was real. I believe it first and foremost because I have personally, 34 years ago, I think I figured out, had a personal encounter with this risen Savior. Not like Paul on the road to Damascus, but still yet a personal moment that has carried on for those 34 years. Not without its problems, not without its ups and downs, but I've had a personal encounter with this Christ. When I cried out to him, he was there. When I needed help, he was there. When I was hurting, he was there. When I needed healing, he was there. And every moment that I've walked with him, stumbling as it has been, he's been there. Every moment of my life where I've talked to him, even though sometimes I'm scrambling to know what words to use in his presence, and as I speak to him, he's there. As I try to just simply breathe my faith in him out every day, even though it's gasping most of the time, he's there. Because he's proven himself to me. A few years ago, I did some family history and been working on that for a few years, and found out that the Gully name, as is the Golly name, the Gollies are here today. We're related, you know. We've talked about this. Golly Gully comes from the same derivative of Goliath, which means giant. Because back in, yeah, it does, believe it or not. I don't know why that's funny, but 1206 AD, the first Golly was recorded, and it's been Gully and Golly and Gully and all these different versions since then. And the motto of the family, I think we may have talked about this, Mervin. Do you know what the family motto is? Nil sine cruce. I think it's cruce, cruce. Nothing without the cross. And I love that, and I've loved it up till yesterday. Nil sine cruce. Nothing without the cross. I loved it till yesterday because I realized it should be nil sine resurrectio. Nothing without the resurrection. The crucifixion is wonderful. The cross is awesome, needed. Can't do it without it. But without the resurrection, the cross is just a cruel death torture system. And we have a resurrected Lord. Before I come and close out our time today, I want to show you another short video. And I saw this and I just thought it summarizes so much of what the resurrection can provide in our lives. So much of what the resurrection can make sure happens in our life. The hope that the resurrection brings and nothing else can. It allows us to accept God's grace into our life and to see the healing, see the hope, to see things change from what we can't do for ourselves to what God can do for us. These are people we don't know in this video, but as I thought about this, every story told in this video, I can find somebody in here, if not 10 or 20 of us, who relate to each piece of that. So I don't want you to watch this. Then I'm going to just come and pray for us, and our team will lead us in a couple other songs of celebration of God's resurrection. Let's watch this together.